I just noticed that this episode of Chris Abraham Show, The Chris Abraham Show, formerly known as Chris Cast, is in fact season 4, episode 12, Doce, and not 11, as I had mentioned in the show. So I just updated the number and added this, and please forgive me. I'm just a man. I'm just a man.
This is the Chris Abraham Show.
Welcome to season 4, episode 11 of the Chris Abraham Show. My name's Chris Abraham, and I'm freshly home from my appointment with my cardiologist. And the subject of today's episode is going to be carnivore for 3 months. I was talking to my doctor, Dr. Lux, who's really amazing. And we decided that since I have everything else sorted out, including my heart rhythm, my blood pressure, my labs, and all those other things, it looks like the next step is radical weight loss. So, and as part of that, also to work on my inflammation response and that sort of thing, because inflammation is a major part of heart disease and also of everything else, including issues with your joints and so for the next 3 months, the next 120 days, the next 12 weeks, I am going to be strictly carnivorous. And I'll talk about what that means in the next segment. All right. This is season 4, episode 11. My name's Chris Abraham. This is the Chris Abraham Show. And I am, this is the first day. I wasn't carnivore today, but starting tomorrow, I can only eat basically meat, eggs, bone broth, I guess, and water. Hey, Google, what can you eat on a carnivore diet?
On the website health.clevelandclinic.org, they say you eat only meat, fish, eggs, and some animal products. You exclude all other food groups, including vegetables, fruits, grains, legumes, nuts, and seeds. The carnivore diet boasts weight loss, improved mood, as well as blood sugar regulation. People also ask me, is bacon okay on carnivore diet? Want to hear the answer?
Yes.
On the website chomps.com, they say, meat. Your main calorie source should come from fatty cuts of grass-fed meat like NY strip steak, porterhouse, ribeye, 80/20 ground beef, T-bone, bacon, pork chops, and flank steak.
So there you go. And, hey Google, what are some reasons why someone might want the carnivore diet?
On the website health.clevelandclinic.org, they say the carnivore diet boasts weight loss, improved mood, as well as blood sugar regulation. It was founded on the belief that high-carb diets are the cause of chronic disease. However, there are drawbacks to eating nothing but animal protein and zero carbs. People also sometimes ask me, why do people choose the carnivore diet? Do you want to hear the answer?
Yes.
On the website primehealthdenver.com, they say, Many carnivore diet enthusiasts claim that meat sharpens their minds. Meat contains nutrients known to help brain function, such as B12, zinc, and iron. Not only that, many claim their mental health improved while on the diet. Without blood sugar crashes, your energy and mental stamina will improve.
Fascinating. So, for all those reasons, the only concern that my doctor, cardiologist Dr. Lux has, is that people either thrive with high-fat, meat-only diets, and, you know, in 3 months, my blood panels might be better than ever, or people's LDL go over 200, and it's not sustainable. He said that anybody can eat whatever they want for 3 months without really hurting themselves. And he said, in confidence, actually, you know, you can be stupid for up to a year and still be okay. So he said that what we're going to do is he's going to encourage me to eat to satiation every day. Not to the point where I feel nauseous, but within the comforts of my food. He said that there will be no snacking. He said that with this diet, we're not going to really focus that much on intermittent fasting. If you get really peckish, you should just have another meal. But you shouldn't snack. You shouldn't eat between meals. If you need two meals, have two meals. If you need three meals, have three meals. If you have two meals and then it comes to the end of the day and you say to yourself, I think I should probably have a meal before I go to bed, he said, don't do it. Just go to bed and wake up and have your meal when you're ready. Don't even feel it's necessary to have your meal right when you get up out of bed. He said, the first 2 weeks will probably be pretty hard. He said, and I agree from my experience with keto, that the keto flu is real. And he said that he thinks the keto flu exists because you are not decompressing. You are... hey, Google, what's the term for the sickness you feel after you quit drugs or alcohol?
I don't know, but I found these results on search.
Well, I guess you are recovering?
I'll get up.
Hey, Google, what's the term for when you feel sick after giving up drugs?
I don't know, but I found these results on search.
Withdrawal. So, he said that the reason you feel this keto flu is because you are withdrawing from the things that are put into our diets that addict us. He said that wheat, while it is not GMO, it is radically mutated in order to become more profitable or more nutritious or more sustainable or whatnot. And even though you're in America, we're not allowed to GMO genetically modify wheat, there's no restrictions on genetically modifying corn. So corn can be genetically modified. And I was talking to Mark after the appointment, and he said that in places like Australia, United States bread, like wheat bread and white bread, etc., when someone tries to make that kind of bread, for example, Subway, when they make that bread, it's not considered bread in Australia. White bread, processed bread, and wheat bread are considered cake. So, and Dr. Lux said that in many ways, wheat bread is not nearly as healthy. The amount of sugar, of the spike in sugar, sugar spike in your blood when you eat wheat, American wheat bread, is even more severe, or as severe as table sugar. So what he wants me to do, and I think this is very interesting, one of the reasons why, is that he wants to reset my gut biome. He said that there's sort of like two biomes. There's your natural home biome, which you've had since a child, and then there's the biome of the gut, the bacteria in the gut that happen as a result of hungrily eating the refined sugars in our foods. So he said that the reason why he wants me to do the carnivore diet is to try food restrictions. It's sort of like with computers or with code, right? You can't, you need to turn off all of your plugins, or turn off all of your, it's like working on WordPress or Linux or server or computer. If you don't know what the problem is, you turn off all outside services. If you restart at BIOS, you can turn it off so that all extensions are turned off, etc. This is the kind of thing that he wants me to do. So he knows that if I eat plain, fatty red meat and grass-fed red meat and grass-fed butter and some fish and eggs and so forth, that the amount of contagion, you know, from carbs and from gluten and from wheat and from grains and so forth will be minimized. And after 3 months, we can reintroduce things like, you know, lettuces, greens, broccolis, asparagus, and stuff like that into my diet. But he wants to give this an opportunity before we start to diagnose the additional foods that might be I might have addictions to, or I might have issues with, or my body might respond badly to, etc. So that is the issue. The issue also is that he's given me a lot of information with regards to figuring out. There have been a lot of scientific deductions and so forth that I'm going to learn more about that show that people who have MS and who have arthritis and who have diabetes or pre-diabetes or all these other things, that keto diets and carnivore diets tend to, for some people, have very good positive effects with them. And most of it is because primarily allergic reactions and inflammatory reactions. And those are the things that give you, that exacerbate things like MS or celiac disease or Crohn's disease or irritable bowel syndrome or diabetes, all these other things. And so I'm going to give it a go. I don't know what else to say. Mark, my best friend, knows me and knows that I'm going to go down the rabbit hole, and I will follow up with this in a couple weeks and let you know how it's going and how it's affecting me. And I'm also going to take more weigh-ins, and I will let you know how it's going. As of now, I believe that I'm 340 pounds. Hey, Google, how many kilograms is 340 pounds?
340 pounds is 154.221 kilograms.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
My goal is to reduce to 100 kilograms, which is about... Hey, Google, how many pounds is 100 kilograms? Hey Google, how many pounds is 100 kilograms?
100 kilograms is equal to 220.462 pounds.
Thank you.
Just doing my job.
So that's my goal. My goal is 120 pounds. I think the perfect weight for me, the world says, is 180 pounds, but if I can stay under 220 pounds, which is a 120 pounds reduction, I'd be very happy with that. That means that I need to reduce around 50 kilos. So that's basically more than a little more than I basically need to reduce the weight of 2 24-kilogram kettlebells. And then we'll be good from there, hopefully. And that's it. That's where I'm at. Tomorrow I start. Oh, I'll come back with exercise routine that we talked about. The irony is that I mentioned today that I would like to start getting back into my concept too, and we talked about it, and without even knowing, he recommended slow running, slow jogging, slow rowing. I read a book called Slow Rowing, and it says that you should row 40 minutes to an hour every single day of your life, very slowly. Just sort of, I guess, sort of like if you were to go take a rowboat out with your love and go row out to the middle of the lake and then row the entire lake and be able to have a conversation with your beloved and get from hither to thither and never really start sweating like a pig, because how unromantic is that? And never get winded because you want to be charming and suave and suave, and you want to continue talking to your beautiful someone. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to aim at doing, he said, zone two. Hey Google, what is zone two in athletics?
I don't know, but I found these results on search.
Zone two is one of five heart rate zones you can enter when training. It usually refers to intensities where your heart rate is 60 to 70% of your maximum, with most athletes choosing cardiovascular exercise like walking, running, cycling, and swimming to achieve this. Hey Google, what is the Maffetone method?
I don't know, but I found these
Hey
results on
Google,
search.
what is the Maffetone method?
Here you go.
Hey Google, tell me what the Maffetone method is.
Methadone is a narcotic.
Hey
It can
Google,
treat.
tell me what Maffetone is.
Methadone is a
Hey
narcotic.
Google,
It can
tell me
treat.
what Maffetone running method is.
I don't know, but I found these results on search.
Here we go. Hey Google, what is the Maffetone low heart rate method?
On the website marathonhandbook.com, they say the Maffetone method is training using your heart rate. What is this? You perform all your runs while keeping your heart rate below a certain threshold. People also ask me, what is Maffetone heart rate? Want to hear the answer?
Yes.
On the website strengthrunning.com, they say, created by Phil Maffetone, the Maffetone method is a style of training that focuses exclusively on aerobic running, using a heart rate formula of 180 your age.
So that would be 52. Hey Google, what is 180 minus 52?
180 minus 52 is 128.
So that's exactly the number that the doctor said that I should probably maintain. 128 beats per minute, which is 180 minus my age. So that's what I'm going to start doing. And I'm going to do the walking, and I'm going to eventually get to slow jogging, but I'll start tomorrow with the rowing. And then I have it in my calendar to do 10,000 meters every day. But I should say 1 hour of rowing every day and not care about how many meters. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave this recording and go change it to 1 hour row every day and not care about the meters. And then be able to see how many meters it ends up being over time. See if I improve over time, still, with the relative exertion, and see if I go from, I don't know, 10,000 meters in an hour to 20,000 meters in an hour. Who knows? It'll be very fun to track it. And if you want to see that, you'll see it on my Strava because I record those things. Anyway, we'll come right back and I will tell you how to contact me. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. My name's Chris Abraham. This is the Chris Abraham Show, formerly known as ChrisCast. I think this is season 4, episode 11. I was making funny jokes yesterday with the art with the episode I deleted. I was saying ons and once and elf and all those kinds of other words for 11. Once, doce, trece, catorce. So, this is how to contact me. Chris@abraham.su. Chris@abraham.su, as in Soviet Union. Because with a last name like Abraham, who is the uniter of all three faiths, the uniter of three faiths, he is the trunk of the tree from which Islam, Judaism, and Christianity sprouted. So the only way I could find a top-level domain of Abraham is in the godless society of the Soviet Union. So chris@abraham.su. My website is chrisabraham.com. My phone number is +1 202 352 5051. And you can text me or call me, or you can signal me, or WhatsApp me, or Telegram me. You can Calendly me, calendly.com/ChrisAbraham/15, free. I'm at twitter.com/ChrisAbraham, instagram.com/ChrisAbraham, youtube.com/ChrisAbraham. Instagram.com/ChrisAbraham, Facebook.com/ChrisAbraham, Chris-Abraham.com is my Tumblr. And my home base for this podcast is anchor.fm/ChrisAbraham. And all I need to say is I love you and you mean the world to me and thank you for listening. Don't forget to review, subscribe, thumbs up, hit the bell, smash the bell. Follow me, write a review, comments, donate. And I appreciate it. Merci beaucoup. Donc, Juvel, the Donc, Gazer. Merci bien. Gracias. Muchas gracias. And mahalo and aloha. Thanks very much, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Chris Abraham Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Until next time.
La, la, la.